What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Diamond in the South. This week we're going to be breaking down Florida's historic offensive start, South Carolina's rise, and LSU's Danica Coffey. She's going to give us a behind-the-scenes look at her comeback story, what this season has been like, and a little bit of personal. I'm your host, Nicole Mendez. As always, make sure to follow, like, and subscribe on this, not just this podcast, but the South America Podcast Networks. I cannot wait to get started. So without further ado, I don't want to say the best for last. Let's go ahead. Let's have a round of applause for Danica Coffey. She's going to be joining us.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I have to say it has been so fun watching you continue to grow throughout the years. I remember, so you and I, we go back, right? Yeah. We go back before college or anything, like way back in high school, whenever you first started getting recruited. I remember talking to your mama, your dad, like your family's so great. So just watching you over the years, it's been really fun to see where you're at now. I voted you as my favorite third baseman this year. So don't tell anybody, but I'm definitely biased. But I know it's been just a really fun journey for you being able to just make your way and grow up. I think that's the coolest thing about college and your experience in growing. So first things first, like, man, just wrap up your experience. I saw that you graduated back in December,
yeah, which
is fantastic, working on your master's. You got your degree in social work, right?
Yes.
Tell me about that experience, what you're wanting to do, just a little bit of like, what is life like now here for you?
So graduating in the fall was very fun. I didn't really care too much because I really just came in. I always say, like, I came to be a softball player, and you kind of, like, get mixed up in, like, graduating as a big deal. So my parents, like, made it a huge deal for me. And it was like, oh, like, you're doing something that a lot of people don't do. So that was very fun. And then just getting to be a part of, like, social work is very fun because, like, a whole bunch of different people. So, like, just being around people that are, like, very authentic and, like, in who they are. And so, like, just being around them and learning, like, a lot about people and about they, them, and she, her, and like all the pronouns and how people perceive things and how people want to be perceived. It was like just a lot of fun for me just to learn about people in general. So I think that was like something I really enjoyed in social work.
Really enjoyed. And then are you currently getting your master's?
Mm-mm. So right now I'm just taking classes.
You're just taking classes?
Like, yes. So I took two. I just finished my first two and I'm just taking two more. But I applied to the master program to start next fall.
What master's?
My coach is like, yeah, just focus on softball right now and then start your master's. You could be here again another year.
Okay, you just be here. You could be here. I love it. Well, speaking of being here, being where you are, you had an ACL injury last year. I'm sure you've talked about this a lot. I had an ACL injury my senior year. Like, I get that. I've been there. Yeah. I've done that. It's not fun. But I do remember I've learned a lot. It made me look at myself as a player, as an athlete, as a teammate from a totally different perspective. Changed my IQ a lot. What about the injury, just from the perspective of who you are as a player? Like, what about the injury did you learn about the game? What did it force you to learn?
I think first it taught me that, like, I thought I had been through hard times before, but I had never really faced, like, a hard time. And, like, it's different when you're at weights and nothing's going wrong with you. And it's like, oh, I have to lift these weights. Versus, like, when you're lifting weights and it's like, I need my leg to get stronger. So it's like, no matter how tough it is, you have to keep doing it. That was, like, the first thing. Second was just, like, being grateful for the game. Like, I think sometimes you take a lot of it for granted. And I was in a place, like, before I got hurt, I was kind of like, like, do I want to keep playing softball after this? Do I want to stop? And getting hurt just made me realize, like, just sitting there made me realize, like, how much I actually enjoyed the game. And, like, I just wanted to be around it all the time, whether it was playing or not playing. So those are, like, the two big things for me. And then just being able to be there for them and not being on the field and knowing that, like, what I was saying still mattered even though I wasn't on the field. And I didn't really realize how much my impact mattered until, like, I got hurt and people were still, like, talking to me and I'm just sitting there and I'm not playing in the game. And they're, like, we're dialoguing about, like, defense and offense and, like, how things are going and I wasn't playing. So they're just, like, trusting me.
Yeah. How did that kind of respond? I know in the past, whenever I went up to LSU, I think it's 2 years ago now.
Yeah.
A little old. 2 years ago, I got to go up during right before preseason and I got to hang out with y'all and just chat. And one thing that you said, it's like stood out to me was you came in and you're like, I'm here. I'm having a good time. And Beth Tarina, she comes up to you and she's like, you're not playing like an All-American. Like you have to change the way that you view the game. Mm-hmm. And then you did. And you took it to that next level. But then there's that enjoyment factor, the kind of like what you said, like not taking it for granted. Mm-hmm. I remember whenever I tore my ACL and I was doing rehab, I was like, I'm never going to take walking for granted ever again. Like, oh my gosh, I swore up and down, like going around on the bike just once. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, she's a little swollen. It's a little stiff. And I found like such a new love for the game. How have you been able to bring that into your style of play? Because like, I feel like every time I watch you guys are just having a great time. And as somebody who's an impact leader, I'm sure some of that falls into that. But how is that your love for the game kind of impacted how you're playing this year?
I just think I've always enjoyed it. But at this point, it's just like you've kind of did all the preparation. Like, I always talk to the person I did PT with. He's like, you did everything. Like, I stayed here over the summer. I did extra workouts. I made sure I could lift my weights exactly how I was before I got hurt. So he was like, you just have to trust it at this point. So a big part of it is, like, doing my film. Because after I do film, there ain't nothing else I can do. Doing my film. And then just being able to say, like, I did everything I'm pretty positive I need to do. Sitting my plan. And after that, all I got to do is swing at the right pitch. And hopefully everything works out. And if it doesn't, it's okay. I gave it all I got. So just being okay with, like, saying that I really did give it all I have. And coach, I'm not going to lie, that was the best conversation that ever happened to me. Because if she never had that conversation, I probably would just be ditzy-daddling around here still. So,
have you told her that?
Yes, I tell her that all the time. And sometimes I tell her, like, she's nice and she's serious. And sometimes, but I feel like you have to have that conversation with people to make them realize that, like, you have more to give. And our strength coach had it with me too when I got hurt. She was like, you're one of the best, but like if you did almost like all the small pieces that you missed in all this time, if you do those things right this time, like you're going to be a part of that 1%. Like your top 2%, you'll be part of the 1% if you do all those little things you're missing. So that was like the goal this year. It's like when I don't feel like lifting 45s on the bench, we're still going to do those 45s this year. And when I don't feel like squatting almost 200, we're going to do it this year because we have a goal this year. So I think those conversations was what I needed to keep pushing and growing.
Yeah, man, I love that. And just because it's so hard to be able, I think of that as like showing up every day, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's such a little thing of, this is on the workout, I'm going to do it. Like, that is what you have to do. And mentally, that is so hard to show up and go, okay, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to do the best of my ability consistently.
Yeah.
It is so hard. It is so hard. But you really do see those rewards and you reap those benefits whenever that does happen and you do show up. It's crazy how easy the application is, but how hard the mental buy-in is. Love that piece that you've been able to add to the game. I have to ask again, you guys look like you're having so much fun. Like, I'm just like watching you guys play. I'm scrolling through Instagram, I'm like, they are just having a blast. Where did the Spivey celebration come from? Was that you? What is that?
No. Okay. So right before the game starts, coach like tells us who's playing. So we're like standing all together and we're just like playing around because usually every year we had celebrations, but this year it was just like, we kind of didn't know how the team was going to be, so we were all trying to like be very focused, and then it was like, wait, we need a celebration, and we're like 6 games in, and we still don't have celebration, so we're like, we need celebration, so everybody's just like going around giving their ideas, and then our DP, Kayla, she was like, let's do Spider-Man, she's like, just go for it, and I was like, all right, I'm going to really try this, I'm like, but I had been like so focused on like hitting the ball and like getting on base, like you forget. So I'm looking, they're like, just do it, Danica. And I'm like, okay, let me go. Okay. So like it just became our thing. And then I think it's also just like when you're getting on base, it's not just about you in that moment, because it's like there's people that aren't playing. So like when you're celebrating, it's like everyone just got on base. Mm-hmm. So I think the celebration means more like to us, because it's like everyone is getting to celebrate together. Like it's everyone's hit, not just your hit in that moment.
Yeah. You get to share it, you know, that's like the best part, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't, like, you think about the home runs, and the best part about the home run is whenever you're rounding third. You get all that whenever you get because the singles, the doubles, the walks, the sack bunts, like all those things are just as important because they lead to those home runs.
Yeah.
So being able to celebrate that, like, I love that. That's so fun. That's great. And then, kind of rolling on to that, I did some research. It wasn't stalking, it was research. I did some research on your socials. Mm-hmm. And I got a couple questions for you. This is more so personal.
Okay.
I saw that you post a lot of quotes on your Instagram. I think you have like something at the top of your Instagram with a bunch of different quotes, but you recently posted a Bob Marley quote. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you like to do? You like to have quotes ever present?
Yes, I'm a big quotes person. I love quotes. So, like, quotes are my thing. Also, like, I love watching, like, podcasts and stuff. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like it just helps your mental, like, sanity. Not even softball-wise. Mm-hmm. Just, like, your mental sanity of, like, how you think about things, how you go about things. So, the quotes just, like, I have, like, a quote wall in my closet. And it's, like, full of quotes.
I love that.
Yeah. So, it's just, like, I just try to write one every week just to remind myself, like, this is what is going on. This is what I'm going to try to live by this week. Like, just keep pushing.
Yeah. Do you mind sharing your quote for this week and why you picked it?
That was it. So,
okay.
It was like you, what is it? You never, hard times. What is it?
It's I like, think it was something along the lines. Yeah. You go get it. You get it.
It's Amara. It says, you never know how strong you are until being strong is your only choice. And so that has to do, like, family. Like, we have some family stuff going on, and I'm here, and everyone else is back home. And I just think that, like, I have a lot going on at home, but, like, you still have to be strong and, like, go about things how you normally would go about them here, because, like, it's, like, just how you are, how you have to be. Because if you don't, like, you're going to miss, like, life doesn't stop moving when something's going on for you, basically. Mm-hmm. So I think that's, like, my quote for the week. It's just, like, keep pushing. My family comes Friday, so I'm happy. So, but it's just, like, keep pushing, basically.
Yeah, I love that. Who's coming up?
My mom and then my two little cousins.
Oh, that's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. Like a girl weekend, like.
Hey, big girl weekend. Let's go. I love that. Absolutely. Just do you, whenever you're playing, I know coaches always say, like, stay locked into the game. Some people do. But I would always, whenever my parents came to visit, I always sneak a peek and wave a little bit. Do you always wave at your mom?
And she's created, like, this little celebration. Not this celebration, but, like, in the seventh inning when our song is going on, she does, like, this little heart tap, and it's, like, three taps, and then I do a bag. So just, like,
she'll just, like, love you?
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. That's sweet. Your mom really is the best. She really is.
The best.
Tell her I love her. Tell her I miss her.
Oh, I will.
Okay, back to my research. So I also saw that you went on this vacation to Hawaii. Mm. How fun. And then I'm like scrolling through and all of a sudden I see, and now, how in the world did you stumble into waxing your own armpits? Like, I don't know if this is TMI, like if we need to get this out. But I saw this and I was like, Danica, if I put that wax on my armpits, I would still have it. I could not pull it off. How did you do it? Who got you into it? Does it hurt every time? This is personal. personal question. This is like personal research here.
So Hawaii was amazing. Hawaii was like, it was, it just like was a flip of the switch for me. Like, you're so focused on softball, just go have a little bit of fun for a week and then just come back. So that, like, with Sierra and Ray was like the best trip that could, we did a lot, but it was so much fun. It was like so fun to learn about the culture, all of it. So that piece, amazing. Then these armpits, Sydney, our second baseman, she's hurt now, but our second baseman, she waxes our armpits. So my sophomore year of college, she waxed my armpits for the first time, and I thought I was going to have a heebie-jeebie heart attack playing with her, trying to get these armpits waxed, but I was like, okay. So then everyone on our team kind of waxes now, so it's like you're investing your own wax machine and all this stuff. So it's like,
you have a wax, like, you guys are into
yes,
it.
Yes.
Oh, my God. So she started the trend.
So she started it. And then now it's just like, you know, how strong are you? Are you going to pull this wax off, or are you just going to be?
You never know how strong you are. You never know how strong you are until the hardest moment. I love it. I love it. Okay. Last personal question. And then I would love to just get one or two questions just on your IQ of the game. But last personal one, I saw that you make your own juice and anti-inflammatory shots.
Yes.
Okay, how'd you get into that? I'm always like looking for a good juice. So do you have a mixer? How'd you get into it? Did you get into it the same time the wax happened? Like, tell me.
Okay, so I started juicing when I got hurt because I saw it was like really good before you had surgery to like help inflammation come out. So that's when I started. Now I just continue to do it because I do not want swelling in my knee and I do not have it. So I just try to keep up with it. Yeah. And I do it every week, and I drink it every morning, that anti-inflammatory juice. I don't really green juice as much anymore, but the anti-inflammatory juice is, like, a big one. So it's oranges, ginger, turmeric, black pepper, and carrots sometimes. Carrots make it, Carrots, I got to hold my nose. But without the carrots, I could just drink it. So just back and forth.
Wait, I'm going to – later, I'm going to message you. I'm going to be like, I need the exact – like, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. It's sometimes this old knee, she gets a little creaky. So I'm going to need that anti-inflammatory. I'm only getting older, girl.
Ooh, when you wake up in the morning, you bend it and it's like, oh, I know.
Morning workouts, because I'm still training. Morning workouts, I'll get there and I'll get to the gym and I'll kind of do a slight little knee bend and there's the crack. My trainer, every time he's like, oh, God dang. I'm like, I know. But it has to be done. Maybe the anti-inflammatory stuff will like really help me. Okay, let's get into kind of softball IQ. Because like you said, you've learned a lot. And I love talking about the mental side of softball. And I think it's something that whenever you talk to the best athletes, you find a lot of commonalities. But it's just always so interesting to go, okay, what was your adjustment? What was your approach? We'll start off easy. I remember coming back from my ACL and there were some drills that I felt like it helped my body get into the right rhythm. Like I just kind of had to relearn what my body felt like in a swing. And there were some drills that I was like, this, if I do this and I feel confident, I trust my knee, I trust my swing, like I feel great. What's that drill for you?
I think going from a stretch was a big one. But also going from a stretch because I slapped. And so when the team was practicing last year and I was hurt, I would just put my leg up on a pedestal and just hit still with the team. So I wouldn't just be standing there watching. And then the stretch was the best piece because I was scared to turn it. But PT helped me a lot because we tried it a lot. So I think the stretch is like, if I can get to this good spot, I can be successful. So that was my big one for me.
Explain that drill like verbally. Like if I've never heard of this drill, I don't know what it looks like. Can you explain it? Like what is my body?
Okay, so your normal stance, how everyone stands is a little bit different, but after you stand, your foot lands. And when you land, you're supposed to have like a stretch like this. Like your body should stretch like a rubber band. So like your feet and your hands should go apart. So you should be done. Then from right there you should go swing like bam. So like all the tension that you've created in your body will like start swinging. So if I could get my body and my legs to like get to a good spot and my hands, like I have a lot of tension and I can go and I can snap it from there. It doesn't matter how fast the pitcher's pitching. I can just snap and get my body to the right spot. That was the biggest one for me. Because I felt like when I first started, I was like a lot chesty. And I was like, oh no, you
guys. You're like, let's go. I've been waiting several months for this. Time. Okay. We kind of briefly touched on this, but what's one thing specifically, SOPL IQ wise, I mean, that you've learned, not just the injury piece, but just as you grow year after year, you learn a lot more about the game, from incoming players, transfers from coaches, just playing the game itself. What's one thing that you're like, wow, like my IQ just it took another step this past year from this specific thing?
Even if you asked me last year, I was not a type of person that liked to hunt pitches. I was kind of like, I'm going to hit every ball in the zone. Nobody can get the ball past me. Like,
I'm gonna swing.
I just need to swing at strikes. But, and so like this year, because I didn't get to slap as much, I wanted to do more damage when I was hitting and not like when I slap, you just hit a good ball and it's like a little blooper and it's fine. But I was like, I want to do damage this year. So it was like more like hunting pitches and like trying to set myself up to like hit my strength no matter what the pitcher's throwing, and like saying if she's throwing two outside pitches, only one inside pitch, I'm gonna set my eyes only for this one inside pitch, and that's the only pitch I'm going on. And I think that helped me out a lot. And we was kind of just talking about that yesterday, because in previous years I probably would have laughed at you, like, I'm not doing that, like, everybody else may need to do that, I'm not doing it. But now I like really enjoy hunting pitches because it makes me feel like I'm in a plan and like I'm focused, like I'm locked in on like doing exactly what I need to do.
Yeah, I think that's the hardest piece is one, like transitioning from being a hitter who's like, you're gonna be a good hitter no matter what, to okay, but I could be a little bit better if I, I'm gonna start hunting pitches, I'm gonna be more selective, like accepting that and going like, I actually want to do this, but then that next step of, okay, how do I actually practice this? So for you, how do you practice that? Because in the game, like you just have to trust the plan. You have to know it. You can't be thinking too much, right? But how do you practice that in practice?
So in the cages, we have like stations set up for like how the pitchers will be pitching the ball. So it's like cage T, cage I, cage G. Well, it used to be like you're in the cage by yourself and there's nobody behind you watching you. So it's kind of like, a free-for-all, basically. Like, you're swinging, but the pitcher's throwing a curveball, a screwball. And it's like, oops, I accidentally swung at the screwball when I was only supposed to be looking at curve. Well, then the slapping coach, we would start practicing this, like, for my extras. So it's, like, 15 minutes. And she would kind of sit behind me, and she's like, were you looking for that pitch? I'm like, no. She's like, and I need consequences to be, like, successful. Like, I'm not a person, like, you just, like, she, like, next time you swing at that pitch, you got like 10 jumping jacks, you got 5 crunches, and it's like, all right, now I'm in a box. I'm like, yeah, I'm really locked. So like, she pushes me, she does that to all the stoppers. Like, it's not necessarily a consequence, it's just like something to hold you accountable, like, and sometimes you need that. So she's like a big piece for me.
I think that's huge though, because sometimes, again, talk about like showing up and doing the little things, what we talked about earlier, is like, it is hard. It's hard whenever you're swinging for 2 hours every single day to be locked every single swing, every single pitch. Like, that is not, it's not easy. And a lot of times you're going to get like 15 pitches in a row, take a break, step back in, like whatever it is. So having somebody to help you and like push you to that next level, I think is so important. I think that's another level to that discipline and that SOPL IQ, is having a high enough IQ to go, okay, I can't do this just by myself. Like, I have to have somebody to help hold me. Think of the whole, like, iron sharpens iron. Like, I can't sharpen against myself, against dirt, against something else. Like, I need something else.
Push it.
I love that. All right, last one for me. Talking about hunting pitches, like, wanting to do damage at the plate. You step up into the box, and you have a great approach. You have a great at bat. Second time through, you know that pitcher had that talk with their coach in the dugout, knows what you did last time. They're constantly changing. Or you're just halfway through the game and she's like, all right, I'm just going to toss in a changeup now. All of a sudden, you're like, God dang, right? So whenever those pitchers make those adjustments, what for you, what's your cue to get on track quickly and kind of stay locked in with the adjustments they're making?
I just have to remind myself, like, it doesn't matter what the pitcher's throwing. Like, I can hit any pitch. Now, I'm not saying swinging out the zone. I'm not swinging out the zone. But any pitch that's over that plate, I can hit it. Whether, like, most of the time when I get two strikes, I go to slapping. So it's a little bit, like, easier for me because it's just, like, my goal is just to hit the ball back up the middle. Like, no matter if it's inside, outside, just hit the ball back up the middle. Be successful. But I think just reminding myself, like, it's not necessarily about the pitcher. Like, it's about me. Like, focusing on, like, what I can do to be successful. So, like, just being, like, he tells us strength the zone even more when you get two strikes. Like, be very selective. So, like, as long as you're swinging at a strike, there's not – he says, like, we have a high Z contact zone. So, it's, like, no matter if the – as long as the ball is over the plate, like, you shall hit the ball unless the ball is, like, crazy moving. But you should already know that adjustment going in on the pitcher. So, it's, like, just focusing on that. And then, like, I always remind myself, like, she's not better than me. She's not better than me. She's not better than me. Like, but you, it's just like constant talk to yourself to like remind yourself because like you can flip your switch so fast to make like feel bad for yourself. So you just have to like keep putting positive thoughts into your brain when you're hitting. Like, you got this. You got this. Like, it don't matter. You got this. Like, keep going. Like, because when I be hitting 10 foul balls, I'll be like, come on now. Just please hit one fair. Come on. Like, please.
Please, I battled so hard. Come on. I love it. Well, Danica, thank you so much for joining. Like, man, I love hearing about what you've been up to. I love hearing like that IQ part right there. Like that is what makes you so great. And it's just so fun to be able to get behind the mind and like, I get it. You get it. Right. And it's just all in the chase of how good can I be? And that's really fun. And yeah. It makes the game like, man, it makes me light up seeing athletes go out and be like, I just want to be the best that I can be and like see what kind of potential I can reach. Mm-hmm. Cause it does, it makes it a lot of fun. It's enjoyable. So I love that. So thank you so much for sharing. I appreciate it. Good luck this weekend.
Last
tournament before SEC play. Mm-hmm. Go out and kill it, girl. Drink those anti-inflammation shots.
Thank you so much.
As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
So that was Danica Coffey. She is a phenomenal, phenomenal third baseman at LSU. And if you have not watched her, you should definitely go. I mean, her style of play, I talked about the joy, how much fun they're having. And she kind of briefly mentioned, but just how she has the ability to influence and create that kind of energy. If you're LSU, like, you're missing that last year, being able to add that to your team, add that to your roster this year, and have somebody that is so, you heard the IQ, so in tune with it and go to the next level. And she was honest, like, it is not easy and nobody's perfect. And you're not going to be able to be locked in every single time, but being able to be cognizant to go, I want to be, and go, hey, can you help me stay locked in? Like, that accountability is so, so incredible to be able to have and grow and continue to push your team to go to the next level. LSU is fun to watch right now, and that's a really big reason why. You look at a lot of the teams in the SEC, look at a lot of teams in the country. The ones that are fun to watch are doing that. But speaking of the ones to watch, I have to talk about Florida, because right now they are just, I mean, they are crushing. A team to watch, a team that has been so fun, so engaging. I think that whenever you think of, all right, what are some areas that I want to make sure that I'm growing in as a team, like overall just check-ins. I think of, you have your preseason, which, as we've discussed before, preseason is before conference, and it has to be called preseason because postseason is called postseason, even though the season's not over. That's why. So you have your preseason, you have your conference, and then you have a post-conference. And to me, that check-in as a team, you want a check-in after preseason, a check-in halfway through conference, and a check-in right before postseason, or like right at the beginning of it. Just to kind of see like, okay, what are our numbers looking like? What is our strikes to walks ratio? How are our runs scoring? Where's our batting average? And you don't want to be dwelling on that too much as a team, because if you get boggled down by all those numbers and all those stats as a team, as a collective, like those, that's too much to be focusing on, all of those numbers. You can pick a few, but really, really being able to keep it locked in. But as a fan, as somebody who loves to watch the game, analyze, broadcaster, all of that, I do keep track of that. And my end of postseason check-in, I mean, Florida's offense, they're out of control. They're batting .403. They have 48 home runs, a .720 slugging percentage. Like, that is out of control. They're leading in 12 different categories in the SEC. And like what they have been doing, I just feel it goes back to that conversation that we had with Danica about intentionality and dominance and what it takes to be able to go to the next level. So curious what you guys think. Is Florida the best team in the SEC? Are you wanting to stake a claim to that? If you're wanting to go, no, it's this team, like, please comment below. Make sure you like and subscribe as well. But I'm really curious, who do you think could knock off Florida right now? Because right now they are dominating in a lot of different categories. Doesn't mean they're unbeatable. Absolutely not. But they are doing a lot of little things right. And that's why you see those numbers start to pile up and add on to each other. But I think that Florida, they have just done such a great job. I mean, you look at Reagan Walsh, like, incredible. She's one of the co-SEC players of the week. She batted .688, had 11 RBIs, 11 hits, and 4 home runs in a 5-0 week win. Like, it's incredible. And then the other team that I was actually going to talk about is also the other co-SEC player of the week, and that is Ariana Rohde. She batted .615 with 4 home runs, 12 RBIs, and they swept number 8 Duke. I mean, the numbers there themselves. And honestly, like, South Carolina was a little bit of a question mark for me heading into the season with a new coaching change, with the transfer portal, with all these incoming freshmen. Like, there's a lot of new faces. And whenever you're going through that, it's kind of like, what is this team going to be like? There's always that uncertainty. There's always that question mark. So I'm really, really curious to see what they continue to do as they start into SEC play. They are opening up against my alma mater at Oklahoma this weekend. I will actually be on the call, so if you listen, you will hear me. But I'm really excited to see these two teams match up against each other. I'm really curious to see what South Carolina does, because they have just been very consistent so far. So I want to see, once you enter into SEC play, it's a whole different ball game, not just for South Carolina, but any team in any conference. You're going from one-off games for the majority of the time, maybe two, to playing a 3-game series. You're getting a lot of rest. The other team is getting a lot of rest. It's not that mad scramble, mad rush anymore that preseason has. So you're able to settle in and find that rhythm. So I really am excited to see, now that we're in conference, what does the SEC settle into
as far as the most dominant player in the SEC, there's a lot of contenders. Bree Ellis from Arkansas, I think she has to be one of my top ones. But what do you guys think? Make sure you comment. Let me know, who do you think is the most dominant player in the SEC so far this preseason? Who do you think is really going to shine? Is it Reagan Walsh? Is it somebody else? Like, who do you think it is? It kind of sounded like an owl there. I was like, who? but I think that each of these teams, we're seeing that transition out of, okay, there's no more COVID seniors anymore. They've all graduated. They've all gone. So now there's a lot of fresh new faces. There's this new energy, this new buzz, and we've seen all the parity. I mean, the first few weeks with Softball America, like, voting on the top 25 has been so hard because it's like, wow, this team's really good, but then they got beat by this team, but that team got beat by this team, and it's like this big old ping pong effect, and you're just having to go back and forth and going like, man, like, this is tough. Great teams that you're like, oh, they're dominating. They are not, they're not performing against a team that you thought was going to be a rollover team, and they ended up being, it wasn't because they didn't perform, but it's because like the other team is so good, and it's just been a big back and forth so far this preseason. So once we get settled into SEC, I'm curious, do these teams go the distance? How do they develop? Because whenever you think about what happens in preseason, it's reflected in postseason. You get a lot of one-offs, teams that you haven't necessarily seen too much of before, at least until the World Series, but there's those one-offs, those things. But what you do in conference places you in a good position, but also helps your team develop. So whenever you do get to postseason, you're ready and you're battle tested and you know where your strengths and weaknesses lie as a team. But the team that I do want to highlight is South Carolina at Beckham Field. They are a rowdy bunch. Like, they're a rowdy bunch. I think for them, whenever they get to have that home slate and they're getting to play at home, I've been to that stadium and it is phenomenal. It's incredible. I mean, the way that you sit, whenever you sit in that stadium, the way that the field just looks, it looks like a beautiful professional stadium. And whenever it was built, it was so far ahead of its time that it's still one of the best stadiums in the country. I love watching games there. I think it has a lot of energy. The crowd gets really loud. Like, the noise is really electric. And the run that they've started off with this year should be popping energy wise. Cool Beans Coffee Company, if you're going to be there for a weekend, good place to head out to. Drip Coffee, I think that place might be like a little bit more, like, they have more unique, like, local, like, you know, it's like your local coffee shop. That's probably a spot that I would visit if I was going to South Carolina. And then I would say Thirsty Fellas Pizzeria and Pub, just a good mix of food, a bunch of different variations. I'm curious, South Carolina fans, tap in. What's your go-to spot on game day? Where are we going? Where are we eating? Where are we headed? My producer Gray is like, all right, let's see. The Divine Cinnamon Roll Deli in Columbia, South Carolina, swept Tom's Hungry Awards on Out of the Box Pod a few years ago. Big cinnamon roll guy. So if you're into sweets, head that way. That's where you gotta go. that's the place to go. But as far as matchups this weekend, I think that there's gonna be some interesting marquee matchups that whenever you watch, you're gonna go, okay, this is something to tune into. I think it's always fun whenever you start off conference play with something that you know you're going to look back at the end of conference season and go, man, this series was so important. We have Florida at Texas A&M. That to me is the number one, because we talked about Florida, but Texas A&M, they have just been sneaky good. Not sneaky good. They have just been good. They have been good. And I feel like what Trisha Ford has done over there in College Station, that has been a little sneaky, like, slowly but surely it's been getting a little bit better. We saw a touch of it last year whenever A&M and Texas played each other in postseason, and like you got to see that. And I think that fueled that team. They're a very different team this year, but the mindset is there. They're like, okay, we know where we need to be. I think that's going to be a really, really fun series to watch. We're going to have Tennessee at Georgia. That one, I think, is something to keep an eye on. As I mentioned, South Carolina is going to be at Oklahoma in Norman. I will be on the broadcast. Please let me know any fun details about South Carolina. I love incorporating both teams. Big OU alum right here, so I know a lot about OU. I would love to know more about South Carolina. So if you guys have any details, send them my way. I'll try to sneak them onto the broadcast. But I think that one's going to be a good one. You have Oklahoma, the four-time national champions, back to back to back to back. But they're a very different team this year, and they haven't been as battle-tested as South Carolina or other teams have been in the SEC and preseason. They have been consistent, and they've been getting their wins. I'm really curious whenever they face a little bit tougher opponents, what they look like, just because I haven't seen it so far. And then for South Carolina, they're facing a really tough team and with a really tough home crowd. How do they handle it? How do they react? Because it's a three-game series. It's not a one-game series. So I'm really looking forward to that one. And then I think for me, just seeing the consistency from Texas, LSU, those two teams especially, they're in tournaments this weekend, but I just want to see them be consistent. To me, I've been kind of keeping an eye on them for, and they're in those top five spots. So I'm just like, okay, are you consistently getting what you need to get done? Are you performing to that standard day in and day out? I think that's the biggest thing that I have as a thought. But last thing for me, I think that as this season continues to develop and go on and grow, having the ability to look at these teams and go, okay, what is it that sets them apart? Because as much, and I'm all about, you cannot deny, if you're leading like Florida, if you're leading the stat lines in 12 different categories in your conference, you're pretty dang good. But I can't justify, as somebody who has played at that highest level, who knows athletes who are playing at that highest level, if you're solely relying just on your stats, like, you may be able to win some, but you can't win them all. There is some intangibles that teams need, such as team synergy. How do they talk to each other whenever things don't go well? How is that communication? How is that response? Do they respond? Do they wait until game two to respond, or do they wait an inning to respond? I think those things, whenever you're watching in conference these SEC teams, that's going to be the thing to look out for. That's what I'm going to be watching as somebody who is analyzing these teams is, yes, do they have the number side? Are they getting the wins? But do they have that intangible it factor? What is it that makes them so good? Because it can look different and it can be successful for multiple different teams. They just have to have something that is that intangible. So as conference gets underway, I'm going to be speaking on that a little bit more about what makes these teams it, and maybe what they might be missing. I am so excited. Conference season is here. Preseason is over. It was a grind. We're done with it. As much fun as it was, it is over. But I am your host, Nicole Mendez. Please make sure to like and subscribe, not just to my podcast, Diamond in the South, but to all the podcasts underneath the Softball America Podcast Network. You can find them on YouTube. Make sure to follow me on social media. It will be some variation of @Nicole_Mendez_, something like that. But if you type in my name, you'll be able to find me on X, on Instagram, TikTok, all of the platforms. And special edition, I had to postpone the dirt with myself and my producer Gray. That will be airing tonight at 9 p.m. You're going to be going live. I am so excited because there is some tea that we are going to be spilling. We're going to be comparing potential player of the year awards. We're just going to be going back and forth. It's going to be a good time. Make sure you guys don't just tune into this, but tune into Dirt Tonight as well. And I will catch you next week.